It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A for effort. Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's our Tua. It's our Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Chris Sims can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Our Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you up until 2 here on the program. Let's get to our headlines brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford. One more time, Leroy. Palmetto Ford. I know.
We know trucks.
I really like that. I really like that Marlins hoodie. Just want to say, Marlins walk off win last night. By the way,
yeah, I saw that.
You see, Jazz Chisholm. He threw the water or the Gatorade container. Got nothing but Jessica Blaylock. Like, just got the sideline reporter. Just completely. Like, she's hey, made TMZ this morning. They're like, Jazz Chisholm and walk off moment completely misses player, gets sideline reporter.
You know, usually they take cover every time there's a walk-off, and you know that you're talking to the guy.
He was rushing it. Like, he just came, you know, he came reporter side. Normally they sneak around the back of the player.
Yeah.
So she was like right in the line of fire. But you know what? That's why she's boots on the ground. You know, she's been doing it. She's her and Kelly Blanco, they know the deal. Menervini, you got to watch out. Head on a swivel. Head on a swivel. Panthers, they lose game 5 of the Stanley Cup final 5-3. Series goes back to Edmonton, game 6 on Friday. So 2 days off for the Cats as they will try and regroup. They are still up 3-2 in this series and, of course, can close this puppy out. Matthew Tkachuk definitely showing some signs of life. That was good news. But here is Paul Maurice. He speaks after the game and says, not too right now. We're not deflated, but he describes where they're feeling right now.
I'm not pumping tires. I'm not rubbing backs. I don't think we need that at all. Everybody feels probably exactly the way I do right now. So I'm not feeling deflated. Neither is the hockey team. They're not feeling deflated. A little grumpy.
I'm not pumping tires.
Good. Grumpy. Grumpy is what gets you to play pissed off.
Grumpy That's is good. Did he say
Grumpy is good?
He said I'm not pumping tires.
I just like, yeah, man. I really love that the message has been consistent the whole season when things haven't gone well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. When everybody can maintain their composure, stay in character, stay focused on the job at hand.
Focus.
Keep the same basic message from top to bottom. It's not going to always go smoothly. But at least you know, right, that you can have a conversation about what needs to be done. And it doesn't come from, you know, anger or people being mad or whatever. And the guys have responded to that all year.
Do you worry at all about our boy, Sergei Bobrovsky?
Again, here's what has happened. I've been watching these damn breakaways and these 3-on-2s and these 2-on-1s, all playoffs. And Bob has been great at covering up a lot of those mistakes, right? And the last 2 games, he hasn't been able to. But the issues haven't gone away. And so now you're just seeing the issues cost you. So it's not that I'm worried about him, but again, the other message that has been passed on to us throughout the course of the year, Bob is being able to play better because we're not asking him to stop a shot every time. We have defenders in front of him. We're doing our job defensively. And so now when you get these breakaways, you're basically asking him to save you a number of times during the course of a game.
The only one I was like, the only one I was disappointed in, but also mesmerized by was the McDavid goal. Cause I'm like,
how did it get through?
And I think that's just the thing is like, I think Bob just took for granted this guy cause he's a wizard, but I also don't know who stops that. I don't know, you know, like there, you don't think he's going to score from there. So that's the only one because he definitely was not in any kind of position to save a puck. But I don't know how you even compute in your mind how this There's guy no is going to score.
There's no way he's going to shoot it from there. He's going around back.
He's going to, or he's going to pass. Yeah, he's going to pass up front. Like there's so no
he's
shot.
Probably waiting. He's probably got an eye out in the middle of the floor thinking somebody's coming in. You know what I mean?
I think that when, like, because they were saying at the end, they're like, Bob looks a little jittery. And I agreed with him. Like he was a little on pucks and he looked better in the third. But I think when a guy scores a goal like that, you want to talk about reset, refocus? You need a minute. I think I need a minute. If a guy scores a goal like that, that's almost like getting dunked on, like from like the foul line, and you're like, how?
Right.
How did that happen? Remember when Gabe Vincent got absolutely destroyed by Anthony Edwards, but they called it a charge? I'm like, what?
He needed a timeout just to go and refocus.
Yeah, I was like, what? I would need time. If I saw a guy use this sorcery, you know, they say he's McJesus, but I think he has a deal with the devil. I don't understand what he's able to do. This is ridiculous. And he just keeps right. – he's – I mean, really, if we get to a game seven, it's not out of the realm of possibility he passes Gretzky. It's not, for the record. He already passed one of the Gretzky – this Gretzky was good, huh? I mean, he has top four of the top five. He's good.
Yeah, he was good. David has the other one.
Crazy, but he does need I don't think Bob has played his best, but I don't think the Panthers have played their best. I kind of feel like he's been in line with everybody, and I felt, you know, he had a nice one on a breakaway yesterday during the 4-on-4 in the third period. I was like, all right, I think everybody feels a little bit settled down, and like you said, you know, Tkachuk says they're not desperate, but I think they know what they got to do. And right. The only thing that sucks, Leroy, honestly, even though I don't know if the rest is good or bad, I just wish the game was tomorrow. Like 2 days to have to wait to get back at it after you feel like you found maybe something. But you know, they play basically on the other side of the world. So what are you going to do?
Right. I just, I would feel so much worse if I hadn't heard the same message all year, right? Win or lose. When they were up 3-1, they were pretty, you know, nobody said we're one win away from winning the Stanley Cup. So I didn't feel as if they were thinking that or that was in the back of their mind. I always felt they thought one game at a time, let's go and take care of this game. The thing that I would say that I did worry about is when you're playing a desperate team and you tend to start off slow, that's a recipe for disaster. And that's what's kind of happened, big leads early, right? So I just think when this game starts on Friday, they need to match the intensity early. And we'll know within the first 5-10 minutes of the game how that's working out.
What do you think Bill Zito does? Do you think he has to like go find a punching bag after the bottle throw, or do you think he's good after that moment?
Push-ups.
with the suit on or the suit off?
Oh, at that
rolls
point,
up the like, sleeves.
The suit doesn't matter. Like he doesn't care. He just again. His frustration cannot be the player's frustration, right?
No, because he can't control it.
Right. Management's frustration is a lot different than players' frustration. Like, you still can't forget the fact they're up 3-2.
Yep.
And
it's not the path you want to be 3-2, but being up 3-2 is 3-2.
You want to be 3-2,
ultimately being up 3-2 with a chance to clinch, having two chances to clinch the Stanley Cup is a good thing. You've blown two chances, but 3-2 is 3-2. If you would have gotten here a different route, you would have taken it every day. Every day. Right. And so you just got to look at it like that and hope that you found something there towards the end of the game. Because, yeah, it definitely has felt like an Oilers onslaught. It felt basically for five straight periods. And now it feels like the Cats got back to something. We will take a break. When we come back, we will hear a little bit from our newest Miami Dolphin, who gave some thoughts on to joining the club. And anytime I can hear Calais Campbell's voice, it's a delight. Rumors today in the NBA world, Monty Williams was fired. James Borrego is now apparently on their radar because he's been kind of the hot candidate that's not J.J. Redick, because J.J. Redick's going to get the Lakers job most likely. That seems all about a formality, and Borrego's been around the Cavs job. Now he apparently is rumored for the Pistons job. I don't know why you would want that Pistons job, especially like him. Even if you knew Donovan Mitchell was going to leave, like if you had the choice between the two.
Listen, it's like dating an ugly model. She's a model, right? You still go home at night and say, hey, I'm dating a model.
Yeah.
Oof. You know? But like that's, you know, he can say every day, I am a head coach in the NBA.
But how could you trust an organization like that?
You can't.
How?
For the same reason why people keep taking the Dallas Cowboys job.
Yeah, but the Cowboys job, he strings those coaches along.
For the same reason why people keep taking the job to coach LeBron.
That's a glory job. Like both of them, those are glory positions.
Job. Who cares if you only go ahead for 2 years?
Dude, I understand, but there's a difference between being the Lakers Cowboys coach and being the Pistons coach,
being the Lakers coach.
Yeah, it's a lot of eyes on you. But at the same time, I think the reason you would take the Pistons job is to get into that fraternity, because it seems like they just have a revolving door of coaches. So maybe you can get in that like Budenholzer. How does he get paid that much money after the terrible job he did in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Minus the championship, you know.
Yeah.
you can't do that, though.
Oh.
You can't do that. Because when you hire somebody, the first thing comes out, oh, you won a championship.
He again has to, like, Budenholzer does have to sit here and think to himself, how the hell did Jimmy Butler do that to Drew Holiday? Like, he does, right. Like, because that was the big criticism of him, is he wouldn't change and double up Jimmy Butler. He just kept going Drew Holiday. He's like, I trust Drew Holiday. He's one of the best defenders on the planet. And Jimmy Butler just kept just feeding him buckets. And he just has to think to himself. He goes, I don't understand. It's Drew Holiday. And then he sees Drew Holiday win another championship. And he goes, but where was that last year?
Here's the difference is that a lot of the guys that Jimmy guards, I mean Drew guards, or maybe a little bit taller but wiry, right? And he can actually put some body on them. Jimmy is as physical as he is. Jimmy can back him down. And now you got 5 inches. You see what I'm saying? And that's the difference.
I know, but Drew Holiday can handle a lot of bigger guys. Jimmy was
not bigger and physical. Jimmy is extremely physical.
I missed that jump shot. Oh, he was awesome.
Drew locked down Luka, you idiot. Did he? Did he?
Mm.
Did he?
Mm.
Because, by the way, Jimmy didn't put up those numbers, even though he put up good numbers. He didn't put up Luka numbers.
He did in that series. He put up 56 in one game.
Mm-hmm. Did do that.
He, like, Drew Holiday was broken by Jimmy Butler. He's like, well, I don't understand what happened.
Of course.
Anyway, so one man who's could be, I mean, I don't know if Drew Holiday could guard this guy, Calais Campbell. He's a giant.
By the way, if you ever talk to him, he is a gentle giant.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
same thing with McKinney. Like, it's hard to be that big and want to have fun. Right? Like, ain't nobody looking at you like, that dude is a good time. No, you not. Like, holy smokes.
Here was Calais Campbell yesterday speaking to the media. And he says, the reason he keeps playing is because I'm still good.
Physically, in the desire, the love for the game, has never left, not even a little bit. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, there was a time where I was a lot more fast and athletic, but I'm still pretty athletic and still can get the job done on the football field. I had to learn to use other parts of my game, you know, bring in a lot more strength part, you know, but I still have enough finesse and everything else. I got a full arsenal of tools. What keeps me going, though, is the love for the game. You know, love for the game is number one. You know, I really am just like a true fan that's lucky enough to play it. And, you know, I talk to guys that are younger, they're like, man, why do you still do it? And it's like, because I love it. I'm still good at it. You know, I don't want to suck at it, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I quit.
You were just worried about sucking?
I was worried about being that dude.
What a prideful guy, right? Man. You should have payroll banded in 1 year. One more.
That's not my thing. That was never my thing, right? You know, like when I was limping in July from last season's injuries, I knew it was time to, because I couldn't even put in any work, right? I was going to go into camp out of shape, still banged up, and I didn't want to do that. And then that's too much, too much.
Here's a little bit more of Calais Campbell, of course, reuniting with Anthony Weaver. We refer to this on this show as the Bob and Weave defense. Here is knowing Anthony Weaver, a huge factor in him coming to the Finns.
Huge. You know, because I definitely had quite a few teams interested. And, I feel like the main reason why I wanted to come here was because I really believe in who Anthony Weaver is as a coach. And in our relationship, you know, we talked a lot during the process, and just knowing that, like, you know, I mean, he knows like what I'm capable of doing. He understands my mind and how, like, I see the game, and he trusts me, you know. And, you know, at this point in time in my career, every time you build relationships, you know, you have to kind of reestablish trust. You know, you have new people that you're interacting with. They got to kind of get to know you, who you are. Now, because of my pedigree and how long I've been in the league, it happens usually fast. But, you know, with somebody like Coach Weave, you know, I mean, he knows, like, you know, like, I'm never going to try to hurt the team. You know, I'm always going to be in position to try to, like, you know, do what's best for the team. But I take calculated risks sometimes and, you know, like, try, you know, play with different techniques sometimes. But everything is calculated. And so we have those conversations on, like, you know, when we were working together in Baltimore of, like, you know, this, I want to play it this week. You know, it was never like some, you know, spur of the moment, just, you know, do what you feel. Every once in a while, you trust your instincts, whatever. But most of the time, it was calculated, it was planned, and you know. But that just that belief and trust that, you know, he's going to allow me to, you know, do the things I know are going to make me be successful, and this team to be successful.
I literally could listen to this guy talk all day. I love that voice.
By phone, because if he was staring at you right now, talking at you, you have some questions. How you feeling, big fella? Everything good? Can I get you a ice cold lemonade?
Do you think he's nice on the defensive line, or do you think he just tries to intimidate people with voice?
There's certain people. It's like Christian Wilkins. The thing that annoys everybody about him, he always having fun and laughing and smiling.
Yeah, you don't like
that. You're too big for that.
Yeah, you don't like that.
Right. And that's some people are just like that. Like, I don't know, it's because they enjoy the game. Like Kalea said, he enjoys the game, but you always have those two or three guys on your team that are huge. And football, they enjoy it, and it's like a joke. Like, they enjoy it so much, they enjoy making you miserable.
Here's one more from Calais. He says he plans on playing all over the defensive line.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to play all over the place, yes. You know, we haven't really talked about, like, how they want to use me, but just knowing Weave and his mindset, you know, you know, we're going to move around a little bit in, you know, different situations. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do in this defense as far as packages and different ways of lining up and doing things. But, yes, I'd be very surprised if I don't play literally every position of the D-line at some point in time in the season, certain games.
Cousies.
Hey, did you hear that little giggle? Hey, if that's – is that your joking mode? But yeah, like every locker room has two or three of those dudes that strong as an ox. You hate practicing against them. I told you, John Randall. Like, You couldn't say nothing to John Randle because he was like that every day. Every day. Just wide open, intense. And you're just like, all right. See, this is a me problem, but I got to deal with it. It is. You know, like that's part of life. You gotta be able to figure out, is it a you problem or the other person problem, right? Sometimes you just don't like things because that's who you are. Accept it and deal with it.
I don't know if it's gonna be better or not, because like Vic Fangio is obviously credentialed, but it does feel like
it gives them depth. And I'm not even looking at scheme right now, right? I'm looking at the guys they bringing in versus what they have. And right now, the glaring question is, how are you going to get some depth on that D-line?
Yeah, especially early with guys.
Right, exactly. I don't know if you really want to put that much pressure on the young guys. And I wonder, Calais talking about moving around, if they will be limited based on those young guys who are going to have to play early.
Yeah, like you can't expect Chop Robinson to roll out here and just be Lawrence Taylor.
Right, exactly. And that's not fair to him, right?
Who's the greatest football player of all time? He's good. You know Chop Robinson.
Every Friday that dude came in and asked us the same question as if he had never met us.
He should have banged the drum.
Every week we would answer the same way. And he would respond to say, and it was like Groundhog Day.
Yep. He loved it, though. He's like, oh, you guys do sports radio? Who's the greatest football player of all time? Same thing. I'd just be like, Jim Brown? No, he's good.
We'd sit there laugh. But Dan, this went on for like 2 months. Every Friday.
Should have known his answer.
The same question.
Should have known his answer with his Giants windbreaker. But no. He's good. Jim Brown? Good.
I tell you what.
He's no Lawrence Taylor.
Listen, me and Bill Belichick was cool, right? But I'm going to tell y'all, and if y'all ever hear him talk about Lawrence Taylor, that dude loved him some LT, but, right? There is no question. Like, LT, he loved him some LT. And I've never seen very many coaches. Like, he wasn't like that with Tom Brady.
Did you see, by the way, you see your boy Belichick? His latest squeeze?
Nah.
24.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
He is taking this off time to a happy place, I guess.
I mean, she's younger than his son.
Yep. And he is, and they have a picture of him in the post. She's taking a selfie of him, because obviously he doesn't know how to do a selfie. And he is cheesing.
Oh, but I'd be cheesing too. He's 70?
Oh, my God. How old is he? 72. Wow. All right.
Yeah, last night, Red Hot Chili Peppers. I couldn't believe it. Anthony Kiedis is 61. He looks great for 61. You know how old his girlfriend is?
No idea.
19.
What?
How does that happen?
She's not with Anthony Kiedis. She with the singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
He looks great for 61.
Does she even know who the Red Hot Chili Peppers are?
Maybe. Maybe not.
She does now. Hey, Jesus. I ain't mad at him. See, no. here's what people don't understand. A relationship between two people is between them. And their reasons for being together is none of our damn business. You don't know what it is, right? Now, we can look and make fun, but you can't say they ain't happy.
Old Bill pulling the DiCaprio, according to Schmeathen.
Yeah, but if you're a younger girl, you see Anthony Kiedis as cool, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Bill Belichick?
Yeah, she likes football.
You can't explain it, dude. Like, the relationship between those two, right? And we might not be able to comprehend it. But they look happy, right? For right now. Good.
Let's mix it on up. The Mixed Bag brought to you by Broward Health. Well, into your future. Leroy, are you familiar with ESPN's Jonathan Givony? He is their draft guru for the NBA draft.
No, I am not.
All right, well, he yesterday was on ESPN, and he was saying that some interesting things are going on with Bronny in the pre-draft process, and that is that hard for teams to get a workout with him. Here was Jonathan Givony on ESPN. Talking some Bronny James.
I don't think it'll surprise anybody that we have him 55th to the Lakers. This is the way that it's been trending for years now. NBA teams that I talk to say they cannot get Bronny James into their building. Mm-hmm. Teams that are drafting in the late 20s and the 30s. The Phoenix Suns have a second workout scheduled with Bronny later this week. But other than that, we have not seen any NBA team be able to work him out. The sense among teams is that his agent, Rich Paul, does not want him on a two-way contract. The range that he's going to be picked, you know, that 40 to 58 range, those are where two-way contracts are handed out. So it's looking right now like Bronny James is going to slide there to 55. I don't think any NBA team wants to pick him and deal with the repercussions of that. So that's the way it's trending as of today.
So this, you said 40 to the 50s, huh?
Well, so my question is this.
Yep.
You don't determine what your contract is. Your talent does.
Yep.
And to say he doesn't want a two-way contract, that might be what his talent would dictate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand. You see what I'm saying? I don't understand why, like, you ain't there. And so for whatever reason, you can't say, I'm not my dad, I want to pave my own way, while saying, I'm 40 to 55. I ain't going to do no two-way contract. Right? You get in like you get in. And then once you get there, then you show what you can do.
Well, it also feels very much like Rich Paul is flexing his muscle on the Lakers, right? Like, they're going to get the head coaching candidate that they want. You know, they're riding off into these last LeBron years. LeBron's going to do what he wants. What does he want? He wants his son on his team. Remember, there was the report last year that he had said in the locker room that there are guys on this team who aren't, you know, that Bronny could help even better than they can. So, look, you're LeBron James. You're the all-time leading scorer. You have all the rings. Don't you kind of want to do what you want? Like, they're not going to not stink. They're not going to stink.
I'm not mad at all LeBron is doing and Rich Paul is doing or whatever. LeBron has earned the right to do all these things. Bronny has not. You see what I'm saying? And so, like, in any business, if somebody gets a job that doesn't deserve it, you're going to have a problem on that team. It happens in work.
Yeah, but we do see the nepotism. Is nepotism for siblings, too? Does that count? Or is that only dad's son? We see the family tie.
It's just family.
We see the Antetokounmpos having roster spots. Zoran Dragic had a roster spot. It's not uncharted waters in the NBA, right?
What about Thanos?
This is kind of, you know, like, yeah, exactly. Thanasis Antetokounmpo. That guy doesn't do anything.
Nothing.
Look, the end of the NBA roster, this was always my argument with people who were like, you got to get rid of UD. I'm like, why? For what? Like, the 13th guy doesn't play in the playoffs. Who cares? You know? Like, it's okay to have a roster spot in the NBA that's for vibes. It's cool. I'm good with it. So if LeBron James is...
Can I just say this? You, my friend.
What?
Let's talk about some of your hot takes on the day. Who cares about that 13th bench guy?
Yep.
Right? And I want athletes to be able to pump as much steroids as possible. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
That's your two hot takes for the day.
Yes.
Then wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why did you make fun of me for making fun of UD sitting on the end of the bench?
Because I don't like it. It's disrespectful.
But it's still
a level above people who didn't want him there because they wanted Jamal Cain to have a standard contract. And
right,
I like Jamal Cain. I'm probably the biggest Jamal Cain fan out there. But
right.
It's like, you're going to kick UD to the curb for Jamal Cain having a standard contract? Like, come on. It's UD. Right. He should get to go out on his own terms. So, people are going to have issue with LeBron James getting a get having his son on the team. I get it, but come on, dude. It's not like this is not unheard of in this league.
Right. I got you. All right.
I really don't have a problem with it. Now, what I would like, he says 40-50 range. He'd swoop in there at 43. Pluck him. And what's LeBron going to do? What's a better place for your son to develop than here? Nowhere, dude. Best organization developing players. So then he's got a fake, like, oh, Heat culture, I'm happy. But you know he's pissed. So then he's got to make a stink determine, do I want to go play with Bam? We'll see. We'll find out next week.
Why didn't you mention Jimmy?
Interesting. Speaking of the Lakers, Jay Williams, he himself was a high draft pick before his
crashed
knee.
His motorcycle.
Yeah, that was tough. But Jay Williams, now NBA and college basketball ESPN analyst, he says JJ Redick is going to be the Lakers coach, and he wishes him the best.
And I feel like you have the Los Angeles Lakers that are trying to figure out with J.J. Redick, a first-time head coach. We wish him all the best of luck with LeBron James in his twilight years. Granted, they're still there. They still have a chance to contend. But, I mean, you're going to give the edge to Boston in a really big way.
Man, just wishing him luck. Hey, good luck. Enjoy that Lakers job with LeBron being old. He's still good, though.
And you're a first-time coach, too. So, God.
Wait, so first-time coach. Can you call somebody old? When they still average, what, 25, 26?
Yes.
All right.
Old is old.
Okay.
He's not Jack Nicklaus old. Like, I feel like LeBron could bang the drum.
I mean, then can we call Jimmy old?
No, not yet.
So we can call LeBron old, average what? How many do you have, 26?
Got to be in your late 30s.
No. I'm looking at production as far as determining old.
Okay.
So
I mean, Jimmy still produced. It's not like Jimmy fell off a cliff.
When I see LeBron's numbers start falling, then I'm going to say, okay, he's getting old. Okay. Until then, he's still putting up better numbers than some of these guys on some of these teams.
He's very good. He's good. And finally, you familiar with Teron Armstead, Leroy?
Yes.
Dolphins left tackle. He was on the Ross Tucker football podcast.
What? He's doing podcasts now?
He was doing a podcast. It's not his podcast.
We have to find him.
He is saying that he has spoken to Tua about his contract negotiations. Says it's gonna be all right, baby. You're gonna be the highest paid.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my little brother, man, and he's I'm somebody that he respects. From my play to my opinion to the way I carry myself. So, yeah, he's opened up and reached out, and we've talked through numerous situations and contracts specifically, for sure, we have. And he's going to be one of the highest paid ever whenever that comes across ESPN and SportsCenter and all those good things. But it will be. He's an elite quarterback. He's one of the top guys in the league. He's able to do things that very few on earth can. And with that business stuff, this is what I try to tell him. And this is, you kind of hear this as you've been in the league, which you know, Ross, is the human nature of taking the negotiations personal or making things personal. It's tough not to. Because you get in a negotiation, they bring up injuries, they bring up this game, they bring up, you know what I mean? Like, damn, you know, but it's part of this level of it's the art of negotiation, it's leverage, is, you know. So yeah, I think his patience has been great, man. He's been handling everything as a professional. He's still leading our team, and he will be one of the highest paid ever.
There you go, Teron Armstead on the Ross Tucker football podcast. And it does speak to what Tua was talking about, right? Like, Tua gave voice to having some trouble separating the business from the personal, taking things personal. So you go to your vet there, Teron Armstead, says, hey, it's going to be all right, baby. You're going to be real rich.
Right.
I would like Teron Armstead to not get hurt as much this year, though. I don't know what I got to do. I don't know what football gods I got to make a sacrifice to, because I do feel like we're lining up for him missing another five games at least this year.
If we can get him to 15 games, that's a win.
Oh, dude, I would take it right now. I would take that right. If you told me, hey, guaranteed he misses two, I'd be like, I'll take it. I'll take it. Let's mix it on up. The Mixed Bag brought to you by Broward Health. Well, into your future. Leroy, are you familiar with ESPN's Jonathan Givony? He is their draft guru for the NBA draft.
No, I am not.
All right, well, he yesterday was on ESPN, and he was saying that some interesting things are going on with Bronny in the pre-draft process, and that is that hard for teams to get a workout with him. Here was Jonathan Givony on ESPN. Talking some Bronny James.
I don't think it's going to surprise anybody that we have him 55th to the Lakers. This is the way that it's been trending for years now. NBA teams that I talk to say they cannot get Bronny James into their building. Mm-hmm. Teams that are drafting in the late 20s and the 30s. The Phoenix Suns have a second workout scheduled with Bronny later this week. But other than that, we have not seen any NBA team be able to work him out. The sense among teams is that his agent, Rich Paul, does not want him on a two-way contract. The range that he's going to be picked, you know, that 40 to 58 range, those are where two-way contracts are handed out. So it's looking right now like Bronny James is going to slide there to 55. I don't think any NBA team wants to pick him and deal with the repercussions of that. So that's the way it's trending as of today.
So this, he said 40 to the 50s, huh?
Well, so my question is this.
Yep.
You don't determine what your contract is. Your talent does.
Yep.
And to say he don't want a two-way contract, that might be what his talent would dictate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand. You see what I'm saying? I don't understand why, like you ain't there. And so for whatever reason, you can't say, I'm not my dad, I want to pave my own way, while saying, I'm 40 to 55, I ain't gonna do no two-way contract, right? You get in like you get in, and then once you get there, then you show what you can do.
Well, it also feels very much like Rich Paul is flexing his muscle on the Lakers, right? Like they're gonna get the head coaching candidate that they want. You know, they're riding off into these last LeBron years. LeBron's gonna do what he wants. What does he want? He wants his son on his team. Remember there was the report last year that he had said in the locker room that there are guys on this team who aren't, you know, that Bronny could help even better than they can. So, look, you're LeBron James. You're the all-time leading scorer. You have all the rings. Don't you kind of want to do what you want? Like, they're not going to not stink. They're not going to stink.
I'm not mad at all LeBron is doing and Rich Paul is doing or whatever. LeBron has earned the right to do all these things. Bronny has not. You see what I'm saying? And so, like, in any business, if somebody gets a job that doesn't deserve it, you're going to have a problem on that team. It happens in work.
Yeah, but we do see the nepotism. Is nepotism for siblings, too? Does that count? Or is that only dad's son? We see the family side.
It's just family.
We see the Antetokounmpos having roster spots. Zoran Dragic had a roster spot. It's not uncharted waters in the NBA, right?
What about Thanos?
This is kind of, you know, like, yeah, exactly. Thanasis Antetokounmpo. That guy doesn't do anything.
Nothing.
Look, the end of the NBA roster, this was always my argument with people who were like, you got to get rid of UD. I'm like, why? For what? Like, the 13th guy doesn't play in the playoffs. Who cares? You know? Like, it's okay to have a roster spot in the NBA that's for vibes. It's cool. I'm good with it. So if LeBron James is...
Can I just say this? You, my friend.
What?
Let's talk about some of your hot takes on the day. Who cares about that 13th bench guy?
Yep.
Right? And I want athletes to be able to pump as much steroids as possible. It'll be fun. That's your two hot takes for the day.
Yes.
Then wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why did you make fun of me for making fun of UD sitting on the end of the bench?
Because I don't like it. It's disrespectful. But it's still a level above people who didn't want him there because they wanted Jamal Cain to have a standard contract. And right, I like Jamal Cain. I'm probably the biggest Jamal Cain fan out there. But
right.
It's like, really, you're going to kick UD to the curb for Jamal Cain having a standard contract? Like, come on. It's UD. Right. He should get to go out on his own terms. So people are going to have issue with LeBron James having his son on the team. I get it, but come on, dude. It's not like this is not unheard of in this league.
Right. I got you.
I really don't have a problem with it. Now, what I would like, he says 40-50 range. Heat swoop in there at 43. Ah, ah, pluck him. And what's LeBron going to do? What's a better place for your son to develop than here? Nowhere, dude. Best organization developing players. So then he's got a fake like, oh, Heat culture, I'm happy. But you know he's pissed. So then he's got to make a stink and determine, do I want to go play with Bam? We'll see. We'll find out next week.
Why didn't you mention Jimmy?
Interesting. Speaking of the Lakers, Jay Williams, he himself was a high draft pick before his
knee. Crashed his motorcycle.
Yeah, that was tough. But Jay Williams, now NBA and college basketball ESPN analyst, he says J.J. Redick is going to be the Lakers coach, and he wishes him the best.
And I feel like you have the Los Angeles Lakers that are trying to figure out with J.J. Redick, a first-time head coach. We wish him all the best of luck with LeBron James in his twilight years. Granted, they're still there. They still have a chance to contend, but, I mean, you're going to give the edge to Boston in a really big way.
Man, just wishing him luck. Hey, good luck. Enjoy that Lakers job with LeBron being old. He's still good, though.
And you're a first-time coach, too, so.
First-time coach.
Can we call somebody old when they still average, what, 25, 26?
Yes.
All right.
Old is old.
Okay.
He's not Jack Nicklaus old. Like, I feel like LeBron could bang the drum.
Then can we call Jimmy old?
No, not yet.
So we can call LeBron old, average, what, how many do you have, 26?
Got to be in your late 30s.
No. I'm looking at production as far as determining old.
Okay.
So,
I mean, Jimmy still produced. It's not like Jimmy fell off a cliff.
When I see LeBron's numbers start falling, then I'm going to say, okay, he's getting old. Okay. Until then, he's still putting up better numbers than some of these guys on some of these teams.
He's very good. He's good. And finally, you familiar with Teron Armstead, Leroy?
Yes.
Dolphins left tackle. He was on the Ross Tucker football podcast.
What? He's doing podcasts now?
He was doing a podcast. It's not his podcast.
We'd have to find him.
He is saying that he has spoken to Tua about his contract negotiations. Says, it's going to be all right, baby. You're going to be the highest paid.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my little brother, man, and I'm somebody that he respects from my play to my opinion to the way I carry myself. So yeah, he's opened up and reached out, and we've talked through numerous situations and contracts specifically, for sure. We have, and he's gonna be one of the highest paid ever whenever that comes across ESPN and SportsCenter and all those good things. But it will be. He's an elite quarterback. He's one of the top guys in the league. He's able to do things that very few on earth can. And with that business stuff, this is what I try to tell him. And this is, you kind of hear this as you've been in the league, which you know, Ross, is the human nature of taking the negotiations personal or making things personal. It's tough not to. Because you get in a negotiation, they bring up injuries, they bring up this game, they bring up, you know what I mean? Like, damn, you know? But it's part of this level of, it's the art of negotiation, it's leverage, it's, you know. So, yeah, I think his patience has been great, man. He's been handling everything as a professional. He's still leading our team, and he will be one of the highest paid ever.
There you go. Teron Armstead on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And it does speak to what Tua was talking about, right? Like, Tua gave voice to having some trouble separating the business from the personal, taking things personal. So you go to your vet there, Teron Armstead, says, hey, it's going to be all right, baby. You're going to be real rich.
Right.
I would like Teron Armstead to not get hurt as much this year, though. I don't know what I got to do. I don't know what football gods I got to make a sacrifice to, because I do feel like we're lining up for him missing another 5 games at least this year.
If we can get him to 15 games, that's a win.
Oh, dude, I would take it right now. I would take that right. If you told me, hey, guaranteed he misses 2, I'd be like, I'll take it.
I'd sacrifice a chicken.
Wow.
Fried up with some seasoning from Popeyes.
David says, not a chance that happens. Come on, man.
I know.
Put like, some positive vibes out there.
Here's this. It's the time of year where you hope and you have dreams. Reality don't set until football season starts. So right now, we just wishing, baby.
Yep. Although his last 3 years, he's played 8 games, 13 games, 10 games. Whew.
Really, Leroy, a chicken is Juneteenth. Yeah, I like watermelon too. What that got to do with it? I don't know what to tell people.
I don't know if they get what you're referencing, Leroy. It's very common practice.
No, they don't. They don't like. But should I go? Like, should I go and get a chicken foot over at the shop back home? They don't know nothing about that either.
I don't know nothing about
right?
that.
Right? Should I go get a doll? You know, go to the voodoo place.
Oh, I wanted to ask Dan Day about this. Dan Day. Because I had a New Orleans thing that Leroy was stumped on. He never had heard it.
Mm.
Have you ever heard of the Rookin?
The Rookin?
Yeah.
Not the Rougerou?
I don't know what that is.
Rookin?
Yeah.
No.
A demon shark in the rivers of Louisiana. I watched an entire thing on this, dude. I swear to God, neither one of you have heard of it? Is this made up?
Hey, you could get everybody outside of the state of Louisiana with that
shit.
I swear to God, that's what they said. I was like, oh, the lore of the Rookin. I'm like, what? So they said it was a voodoo shark.
Hey,
sounds awesome.
You if you go to them same waters looking for the Rookin, you get ate up by 5 or 6 other animals before the Rookin show up.
Oh, dude. I mean...